Elise is the editor, and she's so speedy on it too. And
Look, it gets done when it gets done. Hello, everybody, and welcome to You're on Mute. I'm Pastor Elise, joined by my mom, Pastor Mary.
Hey,
How
everybody.
goes it, Mom?
Pretty good. End of a busy week, man.
End of a
But
busy week,
we're cooking with
man.
gas here at Pilgrim Lutheran in Lexington.
I mean, especially when you're just like led by you. You don't know how to do anything but cook with gas. My goodness.
I know. That seems to be the case,
I
but
know.
we're doing pretty good. I'm glad about it. So we got a whole cool program going that, if you follow me on Facebook personally, you'll see some of that. So it's all things we're doing here. None of it's being taped to send out. But if you're in the Midlands area of South Carolina and want to come to some of our events, that would be awesome. So check it out, everybody. Or you can go to the Pilgrim Facebook page
Why don't
as
you tell the people what this event is?
Okay, so it's called Navigating the Pressure, Helping Kids Thrive in a Stressed Out World. And we're doing three events for mainly adults, so parents, educators, mentors, coaches, about trying to help them with things like how to make youth sports less toxic. I'd love you to come to that one, Elise. But so that one's coming up on September 21st at 4 o'clock. And our keynote speaker is going to be Travis Snyder, who is a former professional baseball player on three different teams. And he, in his retirement, still is a young person, it seems to me. In his retirement, he's put together an organization called 3A Athletics. He's in Seattle, and this program, basically his mission is to help make youth sports less toxic.
Which is very
It is.
important.
I know. And so we're really excited about that one, and that's our first one. We have two other programs where we have some educators come that are going to help parents and teachers, et cetera. Talk about the book, The Anxious Generation, which a lot of parents are reading, and a lot of parents are saying it's making them anxious.
The kids aren't anxious, we're
Yeah,
anxious.
they are. I know. Everybody's anxious. And then the other one is going to be hopefully led by a national expert on kids and social media. And so that'll be great too. And then for the kids being high school students, basically. We talked to some people about what would help the group that's feeling a lot of pressure have the pressure taken off a little bit. And they said, like some nature-facing events, like bird watching. I was like, really? So I talked to some people in high school, I said, like, would bird watching be something that you would do or come to? And they were like, I love bird watching. So I'm like, okay.
We're
So,
all picking up these very what's typically seen as old people
I know.
habits and hobbies. And
It's really
honestly,
interesting.
I kind of love it. It's
Me
like,
too.
yeah, let's just all crochet and bird
I know.
watch and tend to our rose
I thought about
bushes
that one,
and
but
let's all just do that
let's
instead of
just
all
do
this other
that.
crazy
Well, the thing is, so
stuff.
we're going to do bird watching, and we have a naturalist related to our congregation who leads those all the time. He's in his 30s. And then I've actually got three wonderful geeky astronomers
Love it.
who are going to do stargazing events at night. And so it's going to be great.
I mean, what's not to
What's
love?
not to love? Yeah. I had all these baby boomer adults in the congregation on Sunday come up to me and said, I absolutely have to be one of the chaperones for the stargazing one. I have to be. Have you put me down? Even sent follow-up emails.
Wow, that's when you know someone's real because people will say things in the handshaking line at the end of church, but if they send you a follow-up email, they are dedicated.
Serious.
They are serious about this issue. Well,
They
that's
are.
so cool, Mom. I know that's a lot of work,
It is.
and you're really busting your tail to make it happen, but it's such a cool program.
Yeah.
I think,
Well,
honestly, such a cool example of how the church can serve a community in, not on a Sunday,
Right,
right?
right.
Churches are always like, how can we be different? How can we do this? Like, well, get creative and do different programming and
Well, and frankly, just to kind of close this part out, but we got a grant from our denomination, a kind of a, I don't know what it's called, congregational outreach grant of some sort.
Sure.
And the way we put a little team together that didn't know what in the world we were going to do.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, some of the worst cases I've seen of congregations trying to reach out to the community is to decide in advance in their room in the basement of the church what the community needs.
Right, exactly.
You know, and it was more like something that they would have wanted to do.
Right.
And I said, let's not do that, and let's not reinvent any wheels. If people are already doing something, we can support them. We don't have to also do it.
Right, exactly.
So we went out to the community and interviewed folks that we consider to be community leaders and basically asked them one question: what are the needs and trends that you're seeing in our community? And this is what it boiled down to. And we
Awesome.
vetted it over and over again, like, seriously, really? Is that what you're seeing? You know, but
Yeah.
so
Good for you.
we're gonna try it.
Good for you.
Go for me.
Good for you, Rev.
Yeah. Well, why don't you tell us about who our guest is today? We're very excited about it.
So excited. As you all have heard, Mom and I have been on the leadership team for the Wild Women Retreat at Lutheridge for the last 2 years. You all know this past year, in 2025, our theme was Mary Magdalene. The year before, our theme was This Is My Body. And at that event, I don't know if Ginger and I actually met, but I noticed her and she had spoken up at a couple different things. And Ginger is a woman with a transgender experience. That's how she described her will descri describes herself in our interview, but for a lot of people out there, the verbiage that might sound more familiar to you is Ginger is a trans woman. Ginger was assigned male at birth and transitioned later in life to live
Much later in life.
much later in life. Yeah, like in her 70s, which is incredible. And let me tell you, when she came on camera, she had the most beautiful full face of makeup. I mean, it was incredible. And Mom and I are both sitting here like neither one of us ever wear a stitch of
No, we
makeup.
don't.
And so it was just so it was so great. And she was like, I totally forgot we were doing this at this time, so I had to throw my face on in like 15 minutes. And I was like, well, you did a damn good
Good
job
job.
because I could have taken an hour and a half and not pulled that off. So good on you. But anyway, met Ginger through Wild Women. And this past March at the Mary Magdalene event, she actually offered a breakout group, kind of almost like a fireside chat kind of presentation, where she was open and willing to share her story, of her life and her gender identity and gender expression, and her transitioning process. And she basically stood up in front of a group of like almost 100 other women and said, please join me if you'd like, and ask me anything. Like she really, really put it out there. And you and I were both leading other breakout groups, so we couldn't attend. I know you were able to sneak down and see part of it, but I just remember the women in my congregation who were at Wild Women coming to me later and talking about how special that was. For most of these women in my congregation, they maybe had a friend whose like child was transitioning, but they certainly, I don't think, had ever encountered someone around their age or their generation
Or older
who,
than them.
or older than them. Yeah, Ginger 77, which you would never know that, but so it was a really unique and special opportunity. And so, as the stories about transgender athletes and, anti-trans bills that are being passed and all these things, it's really kind of a hot topic
Right.
in our zeitgeist right now. And we're seeing it in the church as well. We're seeing some of our teenagers kind of experimenting with gender identity. And I mean, I had my last congregation, I remember one of our confirmands who was assigned female at birth but was transitioning throughout the confirmation process, and that wasn't really respected by my counterpart. And I mean, to be fair, I don't think he really knew or understood what was going on, but I do remember her being, or he being, misgendered through the entire confirmation ceremony, and I just felt like I was going to crawl out of my skin because I felt so terrible.
Did that include
And
the confirmation itself?
during the confirmation itself, in front
Oh.
of the entire congregation, our sisters in Christ and this and that, and so I remember pulling them aside and their mom and basically saying, if you want me to make you a new plaque with your chosen name on it, like, we'd be happy to do that. And so these experiences are happening more and more in our congregations, and I think we as pastors, especially pastors who see ourselves as allies and advocates, are trying really hard to, I mean, figure out how we can do that. And so we invited Ginger to talk to us today about her story and her experience, and we really talk about just about everything. Ginger shares a lot of personal details about her story, but we also talk about kind of the intersection between gender identity and sexual orientation and how they're not the same. And we talk about how congregations and pastors can be more supportive of trans folks, as well as people in the LGBTQ community. And we talk about a couple of resources, which we'll provide in our show notes when we post this episode, some books that we've read or are intending to read about the
Started
topic.
to read.
Started to read, exactly, have had on my desk for 2 months. And so Ginger joins us today, and she is just an absolute delight. And I'm so excited for all of you to hear a little bit more about her story.
Yep, I
So,
am too.
yeah.
So happy listening, everybody.
Happy listening, everyone,
Okay.
and we will catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you. We are welcoming today, Ginger. Do you pronounce your last name Cuttrell?
Cutrol. Cutrol.
Cuttrell.
Long
Like
U.
cuticle?
Like,
Yeah.
just think how cute I am.
Yeah, there
Okay,
you go.
Cutrell.
Perfect. I
Could you
love
change that last name too?
that. I know. That just worked out perfectly. It was kismet.
It did. So Ginger is someone that Elise and I met when we were leading the Wild Women Retreat at Lutheridge back in March. And I think, Ginger, you were the only trans woman there. That may not be true.
First time, ever.
Yes,
To my knowledge, the only one that's attended.
And so I was talking about how one of the things that got my attention was that Ginger did a workshop. It was not technically on the agenda because we had other sort of workshoppy opportunities. But you volunteered to the leader of this program that you wanted to give an optional workshop if people wanted to talk about, transsexual experience and to actually talk to somebody who was. a trans woman, and that you were willing to answer any questions that they might have. And I arrived at the place where you were doing that. It was already underway, and I was like, wow, this big room is packed with people. I'm like, did anybody go to any of the other workshops?
They didn't. And
They
I was
didn't.
glad for it. So I was leading like the icon workshop during that time, like the coloring workshop. And I had like nobody in there. And I was actually like, I hope that they are down at
Yeah.
Ginger's presentation. Because if they just ditched all of us and like went back to their rooms and napped, I'm gonna be so mad.
I know
But
they
then
weren't.
a huge crowd came in like with 15 minutes left in the breakout time, and they all said, "Oh, we were down at Ginger's talk, and so we came up when we could to grab some coloring sheets." And I heard nothing but incredible feedback from people that were just like, that was so brave of her, and like she really just like basically spilled your guts, like just kind of laid your heart on the line and put your soul out there to share your story. And I don't think what I told a lot of the women from my congregation was, I said to them, I hope you realize how brave that is, because it is hard enough to tell very personal stories to a large crowd. But in our
Right.
day and age, where there is so much like misunderstanding and just kind of like, a lot of hatred towards the trans community right now, which has been inspired by our leadership, unfortunately. But to literally sit in a room of mostly strangers and say, "Here's my story. Ask me any questions you want." I mean, I still am in total awe of you, Ginger, for being willing
Right.
to do that. It's pretty incredible.
It was really amazing. And so I just bet you that that experience changed a lot of women in that group and gave them a lot of understanding that they had not had before. When I talked to you in advance, we said we do want you to tell your story. But more than that, well, even though they're going to be intertwined, but more than that, we'd like to, because you are an active member of a Lutheran church. And so in that, is it in Nashville?
It's actually in Tullahoma, Tennessee, about an hour away.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. And so to talk about what it's like to be a part of a congregation, and what because we want to help congregations understand what does welcome look like, what does support look like, and what does it look like when you're not doing it? Because sometimes we don't know, and more of us now, even if we don't have any trans members of our congregation, we may have some and don't know it.
Yeah, that are out, right?
You just have to assume it. You should, I think, as a pastor, assume it. And so there's that issue. And then there's newcomers who may be trans. But then the other hidden category that a lot of us are noticing are parents of trans men and women who are struggling with what's gone on with their child and are telling almost nobody. And so they're sort of dealing with that on their own in a super small group of family and friends, but by and large aren't really often letting their entire church family know what's going on and stop sharing pictures of their children and all of that. And often pastors don't know either. So that's another assumption that I think pastors and church leaders need to know, is that just because you don't know something is happening doesn't mean it isn't going on. So does that sound like an okay agenda for you for our talk today?
It sounds perfect.
Okay.
Awesome.
Well, why
Well,
don't you?
Ginger,
Yeah, go
yeah, why
ahead.
don't we start? We just would love to hear your story as much or as little as you would like to share with us. We're just gonna sit at
Yes.
your feet and
You
listen.
it.
Sorry.
Oh, thank you so much. One of the issues I run into, and the audience is going to have to just kind of pay attention a little bit, is that I have a very masculine voice. And so that misgenders me an awful lot. And so, just kind of, and a lot of women do have very deep, husky voices. So that's me. So just pretend I'm a deep, husky, speaking person. A little bit about myself. I'm a woman of transgender experience. And I say it that way because I've always been a woman mentally. And I love to say that I'm a woman who was raised as a man, learning to be a lady.
Wow.
And where you ladies have brought, you were brought up with certain codified activities and knowledge that's in automatics, sometimes I have to think. That's true of my community. We're women or men. And by the way, I want to add that there's a misconception that it's all men who want to be women.
Oh, yeah,
It's about
right.
50-50.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, the ratio is about 50, close to 50-50, female to male, male to female.
Yeah.
So this is not something brand new. We've been out through history forever and ever. And the only reason you see more of us now is because we thought the society was changing enough to accept us.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, there's the backlash. The pendulum swings one way and it swings the other. And
Right.
unfortunately, I don't use the term Christian nationalism for lack of a better word,
Yeah.
that wants to go back to the fundamentalist religion of their granddaddies. That's not the message God sends. Jesus came, and Jesus was the first woke individual. And so, if you follow his teachings and you follow the message he's trying to give that he gave back in those days, it applies to us. It applies to everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. A quick story about me. I'm 77 years old, and I didn't come out until about 3 years ago. Although for years and years, I cross-dressed because I felt more comfortable in women's
It was
clothing.
only 3 years ago. I thought you said it was in your 50s. Wow. Okay.
Well, yeah, I was in the 50s.
In your 50s,
Well,
I
my
think,
50s.
yeah.
No, unfortunately, I am 77.
You look good.
Thank you.
You look awesome.
I love your shoulders. Wow.
It's being happy, okay?
Yeah.
But I never even thought about it. It's something that I was raised back in the 50s where you didn't even speak about being transgender. There's a word that didn't exist until the 70s, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like the word homosexual. Homosexual never appeared in the Bible until 1946 by a mistranslation.
Oh, can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, I'd be glad to, because in 1946 there was a German translator who was working on a revision to the Bible to bring it up into the current language, and he actually misinterpreted a word that Paul used in his that men shall not sleep with men, and he created and I forget the actual meaning of the word that Paul used, but he inserted the word homosexual. And unfortunately, that version of the Bible got printed into the public and then became common wording. It wasn't until roughly 1974 that the Catholic Church said, oops, we have a little problem here. We need to fix that. And after a lot of debate, they finally corrected the Bible. And it's not just the Catholic Church, but it's the official church Bible people, whoever they are, to take out that word. So the Bible right now should not currently have the word homosexual in it, unless it's an older version.
Right.
Okay. So anyhow, so that's part of why the LGBTQ community is really not that bad. And by the way, let me throw in one other thing too about we're talking about Paul and his men shall not sleep with men. One of my biggest objections is that people who talk about our community love to cherry pick. The Bible is about context. The Bible is about stories. And you can't pull words out and the meaning be the same as what was in the Bible. And many translators and theologians now say that actually what he was saying was that a man, a slave owner, actually talking about slave owners, should not sleep with the children of their slaves. Paul was actually saying pedophilia is bad, not gay sex, which was very prevalent back in the Roman days.
That's what they did.
But again, it's the cherry picking that gets thrown at us so often that God said this. Well, he didn't really say that. He meant this. Okay.
And we're very quick to say or to forget that the Bible is scripture that was divinely inspired, but humanly written, right?
Absolutely. And 65 different books were kind of picked and cho chosen to fit the Bible. And Mary Magdalene, which was the story of that wild woman, was that conveniently disappeared
Left
because
out.
misogyny. It's
By the
misogyny.
way, next Tuesday is her feast day.
Oh,
Okay,
celebrate.
22nd. Yep. We're
Nice.
remembering her and our worship on Sunday.
That's
Cool.
awesome. So anyway, getting back to my story real quick, I cross-dressed for years, being open and very honest. In the 90s, my wife found out about it. I was married for 46 years. We had a major blow up, like many marriages, but we decided to stick with it. I promised I wouldn't do it anymore. And by the way, I have known a lot of people who have cross-dressed or who are transgender. Promise, I'll never do it again. I promise, I promise. And it's a compulsion you just can't drop. It's internal to us. And so and I think I've only known two people in my life that have stopped. So this is very innate to our personality. The fast forwarding several years, about in 20, my wife got very sick. She got a non-COVID viral infection, got into her brain,
Oh gosh.
and we had to put her into a nursing home. And she almost, I almost lost her three times in the ER. I still loved her all from day one. And I never stopped loving her.
Because it wasn't about her, was it?
No. One of our arguments was, I'm not going to be married to no damn lesbian.
Oh, really?
So she was West Kentucky, very conservative. And so it was not in her mindset to accept this type of lifestyle. Anyway, a year and a half later, she passed away. And I watched her decline. So I did my grieving during that year and a half. And her type of illness, she could be very cognate, talk to her, very current with current affairs, and the very next sentence slip into a fantasy world.
Yeah, that's
Or
tough.
significant brain damage and body damage. So anyhow, moving forward, I said, I've got to be me. And I came out in a grief share, all women. As we got down towards the end of it, there was one of the steps you go through in grief sharing and grief healing is start a new identity. And
Oh, wow.
that resonated with me.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, I'm going to come out to these six ladies. I've been there as my male self. And I said, I got something I got to tell you. And I said, I'm transgender. I actually feel in my heart that I'm a woman, and I am taking this to heart, and I'm trying a new identity. And there's some shocked expressions, and I had a lot of support.
Oh, good.
And by the way, this was at the my congregation, the ELCA, at Trinity. And I never paid any attention to how affirming or anything else they were, because it just wasn't on my radar screen. Because I was a guy. So they said, "Wow, that's kind of cool." Next week at our last meeting, I came as Ginger, makeup and a dress, and that was a big deal for me. And I got surprise expressions, and I got a bunch of hugs.
I was gonna say, gosh,
I
I hope
know.
you still felt, affirmed and accepted when that happened too.
At least
How great to be able to test that out in a small, already trusting group. That was great.
I had to. I felt compulsion. And I've run into this several times as my journey has continued that I think God's been tweaking me for something. And I'll describe that as we get down towards the end. So 3 weeks later, I made the decision to come out of church. I still was not publicly out, anything like that. And so I go to go to the late service. Everybody's already in. I was running a little bit late, got there, and I'm out in the parking lot, trembling. My hands, I couldn't even hold on to the steering wheel. I got out. Now, just imagine, quote unquote, I'm a guy in a dress going into church that he's gone to for 18 years. And I made the decision, I'm going to go in and do it. And I
Man.
walked in, and they'd already started the service. So it's time it couldn't have been any better. As I walked in, all the eyes went whoop, right to me. A lot of jaws dropped. I'm not sure, but I think I was doing communion that day. My memory says that I was scheduled to do communion as the communion assistant.
I love that.
So as we, yeah, anyway, all
Well,
the
deep into the pool.
I
I know
did.
you really went for it. I am
I
so
did.
impressed.
Did your pastor know in advance?
Oh yeah, we've had
Oh,
conversations,
good. Okay. I
and
would thought so.
no, I did make sure that he knew what was going to happen. In fact, I told him I was going to come, and we had conversations while my wife was in the hospital, in the nursing home. And God said, gotta remember that God loves all of us. He doesn't care what you look like. Yeah, He loves all of us without qualification, and faith is what He looks for.
Yeah,
So I felt comfortable.
absolutely.
Anyhow, long story short, we got that went well. I had an awful lot of services over. Everybody didn't know my name yet, so I was still Gary. And Gary, you're so strong. Be you. We're happy for you. Everything else. Got a few bad looks.
I bet.
I still have one lady in the congregation that still not will not talk to me.
Oh, shame.
But that's okay. I mean, and she's slowly thawing.
And
So,
one's not bad.
no, it was actually a wonderful experience, and I have not gone back as Gary. That was Gary's last time at Trinity. Moving forward in time, real quick, about 3 months later, I was a member of a LGBTQ mission church in Nashville. It's the only one in the country at that point in time. Our pastor took us to a Welka convention in Atlanta, and she said, "I need this is we're forming our own Welka group, women of the ELCA, for those of you that are not aware." And we drove down to Atlanta as a group. And we walked into the hotel room. Now, there were our pastor, who was bisexual. So there was two bisexual women. There were two lesbians and three transgender women.
Man.
First time that a group like that had ever gone into the Southeastern Synod Walkout Convention.
That's incredible.
As I commented to Pastor Dawn a little bit later, said I was shaking in my heels. I didn't have heels on. I had sandals.
Say metaphorical heels, yeah.
Metaphorical heels. And she said, I was shaking. She said, I could tell it. You were nervous.
Yeah.
And we were greeted with wide open arms by all the women at the Welcome Convention.
That's great to
Awesome.
hear.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
That kind of reinforced, and because I really wasn't a very true believer, I'll be honest with you. I went to church because my wife went. And that really said God does believe that we have a role, that he does love everybody.
Yeah.
Saturday night, there was a dinner dance. And I dressed up with one of my really nice dresses that I had. Went down there with jewelry, and I was glammed up.
Nice.
My chest to shine with a bunch of women. And all of them said, "Hey, Ginger, come over here." And then they told me I was a diva. And that told me I was accepted.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Oh,
So, again, fast forwarding a little bit. Wild Women, the year that you saw me for the in year one of that. Four, six of us went from my congregation. I had a great time. All again, everybody accepted me. It wasn't fresh meat. It was a fresh woman coming in, and they wanted to hear my story.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I made the decision then that I am going to be completely open and about who I am, why I am, and what are some of the truths and untruths that we hear so often.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So as we wrapped up, I told Pastor Sarah, if you want me to come back next year, I would love to do a workshop I'm working on. And that was a culmination. This year was a culmination of that preparation.
Nice,
And
yeah.
it finally got to the point where I think I like what it is.
Yeah, it was
Yeah.
good.
And thank you. I appreciate that. So I'm going to fast forward again.
Okay.
In the September, no, August, I get a phone call from one of the ladies at the Southeast Synod Welcome Unit. "Hi, Ginger, how you doing? This is Louise. And we would like to approach you with an idea." "What's that?" "Well, we're coming up on the gathering and the triennial for the women of the ELCA. And we would like to put your name as a candidate for the Welka churchwide executive board." And I said, "What? Let me think about it. What are the details? What's going on? What's involved? How much time?" And so she sent me the electronic sign up online, and I started filling it out. And I wanted to talk to one of the pastors that I knew, because she had been on the board before, and I really valued her advice. And so Pastor Michelle called me one day, and I had been working on the online form, getting it ready, and it was all ready to go, and I was waiting for her. And she calls. "Hi, how you doing?" "Oh, we're doing wonderful, and we're BSing and all that good stuff." And a phone call starts coming in, and on my phone, and it said spam. So what's the first thing you do when you see a spam call coming in and you're on a call and it's on the voicemail?
Decline. Send a
You hit reach up, you hit the button, right? Hang
voicemail.
up.
That's right.
And to make sure I hung up, I hit it twice.
Yeah.
Okay, now would you like to guess what was underneath that hang up?
I don't know, but I'm like,
I'll tell you that it was the submit button on that application.
oh my gosh.
Oh, shoot.
So you were trying to hang up a spam call, but you submitted your application on accident.
Absolutely.
And it was all
Absolutely.
filled out, right? That's what we call a God moment.
That's right. Exactly. No more thinking about it.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why I really believe God has set me up to do what I'm doing right now.
Yeah,
Wow. To be a messenger,
absolutely.
to be open. At my age, you can't hurt me anymore. I'm retired. I'm not going to be here on this earth that many more years, although I want to be here as many as I can.
Of course.
So, and I've had a long life, so I've been there, done that.
That's amazing.
Can
So
you say one of the things that I was fascinated by in your workshop at Wild Women? Well, many things, but one that's kind of stood out to me was when you talked. Do you remember that? As
you froze on me here.
you
Try it
froze,
again.
Mom. Ask that again.
Yeah, I know. I saw that.
Ask that
Sorry.
again. Yeah, it's okay.
So you were talking about the brain scans or CAT scans, like female and male reactions in the brain. Can you talk about that?
I'll be glad to. That's where I was leading into.
Nice. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's a good catch on me. They tell science. I believe I'm a strong believer in science. I was an engineer during my work life, and they've done a lot of research. They've done some research where they've actually done brain scans of. Now let me throw out a word real quick for you. We talk about transgender people, trans. Everybody has to have a label, right? Well, people who are perfectly happy with the gender they were assigned at birth, we call cis, CIS. And cis is actually Latin for equal or same as. So cisgendered people are perfectly happy as the gender they were assigned. Transgender people, trans is the word that moves you to the other side of the equation. And there's a very wide spectrum there too, by the way.
Oh,
But
absolutely.
they've done studies of cisgendered women. And if you've ever seen a brain scan, you know how it lights up parts of the brain, and there's when they see certain pictures or they see certain activities, and I like that, and I like that.
Right, different stimuli will activate different parts of the brain, things like that.
Absolutely. Well, they did the same thing with transgender people, males and male to female, female to male. And interestingly enough, our brain scans light up the same pattern as the brain scans of those that we identify as. So the brains, parts of my brain that would typically light up on a cisgendered woman, mine would too. And for someone who is masculine, a trans masculine, the same thing. And they're different parts of the brain. It's not the same thing. The colors are even actually different because the energy is different.
I just found that so fascinating. And I just, yeah, I like the way that the science backs it up like that so well.
Science backs up our existence in so many places and in so many instances that I still struggle with why the people who are so conservative ignore science.
Or cherry pick it, kind of similar to cherry picking scripture.
Absolutely.
Just to back that up and all of that.
Well, can I ask an easier question, maybe?
Absolutely.
How did you land on the name Ginger?
It was actually given to me by a friend.
Really?
Back several years ago, I was cross-dressing and I was still presenting as a guy in real life. And they said, "Well, we need names." And I was hemming and hawing. I couldn't think of anything. Sally didn't feel right, and Joanne didn't feel right, and Margaret Elaine, whatever, didn't feel right. And so my friend was a cross-dresser. I said, "Okay, Ginger," because back in the 70s, remember Gilligan's Island? That was the reason why they kind of named me Ginger, because
Really?
Gilligan's Island and Ginger on that.
Oh my gosh. I was kind of
Yeah,
thinking that. I was like, or ginger spice maybe, but I'm a millennial, so my brain goes to Spice Girls right away.
Yes, I know what you're talking about, Ginger.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So
I know that one.
yeah, and it fit me. And I've over the years, I've really tried to change. And every time I try to think of another name, I said, no, it doesn't fit. And so I've accepted that. And that now my legal, by the way, I am legally, socially, and medically transitioned as a female.
That's
Yeah.
an
So
incredible accomplishment.
all the legal stuff is there.
My birth certificate, my driver's license, my passport, say female. Medically, I've had the surgeries. And we can talk about that a little bit later if you want to. I am me.
Well,
And
what,
I've never been happier.
that's amazing. And
Well,
that's such a huge accomplishment. I mean, I know of a lot of folks who are even kind of fall more in the camp of, non-binary and gender non-conforming, who have a really hard time having their documentation changed because of certain red tape or, things like that. And so to be able to kind of have that literally and figuratively in your pocket, right? That your documentation matches how you've been feeling for your entire life is such a huge accomplishment. That's really special.
Well, I fell into that cusp of the moment where everything just kind of came together, and I was they let me do it.
That's awesome.
And by the way, in the state of Tennessee, which is very, very red.
Yes, it is. I'm like doubly impressed that you got it done in the state of Tennessee. My goodness.
Well, so just out of curiosity, so legally, where is your old self?
Legally, my old self no longer exists.
Okay. Wow.
Except in files somewhere.
Right. Because they can't say that you're dead, that the old self is dead, right? There's no death certificate.
No.
You know, I'm just thinking about my.
Actually, legally, I am me with another name.
With a new name. You've done a name change,
I got a name
but
change.
also a gender change where it says male, female. So yeah, that's really interesting. And a theological question that I'm not prepared to answer, but I wonder how transgender people feel about this. Is there ever any talk of being rebaptized with under your new name?
That has never come up, and I would probably be resistant
Mm-hmm.
because, I go back to, and I don't know, I'm not a theologian, I'm not a Bible expert, so I remember the cherry-picked statements, but one of the ones, and it may be Ephesians, I'm not sure, that God says, "I knew you in the womb, and I am pleased."
Yes, that's true
So,
too.
so, so, and. If you really believe that God is all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful, and he's not time-bound, he is forever, and he knew what the heck he was doing with me, and he put me in the womb with a purpose that I'm now executing.
Yeah, there you
And
go. I
that's
think that's a
so
great theological answer.
it is, and that's so cool. I mean, I went to seminary in Chicago, which at LSTC, which was at a very, very progressive and liberal seminary, and we actually did talk about and study in one of my worship classes, not necessarily a rebaptism, because as Lutherans, we believe in one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We say it every Sunday. But doing a renaming ceremony that ties into like your affirmation of faith.
Or
So
like confirmation.
like a confirmation. And so there was a few students actually that were transitioning or gender nonconforming that took part in the ceremony. And I know for them, it was a very special thing, but it was never labeled as like a rebaptism. But it is out there and it exists, and like the liturgies are written, which I think is really cool. And I love what you said, Ginger, too, about how God knew you in the womb and kind of knew what your purpose would be. Because one of the things that I hear from folks who like might be allies or cis folks kind of on the outside looking in, what I hear a lot of them say is, I don't care what other people do. Like, I'll love and accept everybody and all that. But the where I really struggle is, God doesn't make mistakes, right? So how, like, they try to, like, reconcile that. And I always kind of say, like, well, then you're just calling a person a mistake. And I don't think that that's okay. And so I've always kind of wondered, like, and you kind of already answered the question I've always had of how would somebody who's gone through a transgender experience hear that? Like, how would that hit? Knowing that that's what people who are desperately trying to be allies and maybe stumbling, that that's a sticking point for them,
Let's play a little game, okay?
Okay.
Three or four questions. Maybe more, we'll find out, okay? Okay, and my first question is, what's a woman?
Great question. Okay.
Okay.
You answer the questions.
Yeah. Well, so if we're talking.
Well, just give me the overall estimate, the first thing that comes to your mind. I ask you, what's a woman? What's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Somebody with a vagina and a womb.
Okay.
Okay. I go more towards like characteristics. I think of someone who is powerful and kind and has the ability to multitask. Since marrying a cisgender man, I have a much different idea of what men and women are. But love you, Adam. I know you're probably listening. But yeah, I think someone who has good empathetic nature, but also, like, I think badass. Whenever I hear about women, I think we're all badasses, really. I just like it, yeah, that's kind of where my answer lands.
Okay, at least we'll cycle back to you. Okay.
Okay.
Now, that's the answer I get most often when I ask
Right.
that question. Because the first thing I think about are physical attributes. Yeah.
Right.
They have a womb, I can have babies.
Yeah, I'm a
Okay.
mother.
Yeah, I'm a
Yeah.
mother. But if you have a hysterectomy, are you still a woman?
Well, I have had one.
Are you
Yeah.
still a woman?
I consider myself that way, yes.
Okay, so
Yeah.
that doesn't define you.
No.
If you have to have a mastectomy because of cancer or some other problem, are you still a woman?
Yeah.
Well,
People
yeah,
would
you
say
are, right?
yes.
So it's something more than the physical. And
Yeah.
that cycles around to Elise and your comment about the ethereal, okay? And the emotional impacts.
Yeah.
And I've always felt more that way. Yeah, I've always, yeah, I never had male, believe it or not, I never had male privilege. Growing up, yeah, as a manager, even a lot of guys would ignore me,
Interesting.
even people that were my peers,
Yeah.
yeah, and a couple of subordinates,
Wow.
which I took care of that problem real quick.
Right. I was gonna
Awesome.
say. Because you were a
That's because
badass.
you're a badass. That's right. as a manager, and I went through several different levels. Yes, you have to be,
Oh, absolutely.
and I was in quality management, which means that I really have to be a badass. But so if you look at what is a woman, and if you take it, it turns right around and as a man, a woman becoming a man, okay, there are certain traits that are very typical of testosterone poisoning. You know, very aggressive, they love sports, yada, yada, yada. Not to say that women don't. So a lot of these things are innate to us. And that goes back to the mammogram, the MRIs, the brain scans. Okay. And going, and they talk about the binary, men and women. Okay. Now, describe God. You can't. God, we believe God's a spirit. Okay. And we don't say that God's a man because the Bible is
Well,
written
we
by
kind of
what?
do, though.
The Father, but it was written by men.
Yeah,
Right.
I know, but I'm
Yeah.
just saying.
Yeah. Well,
That's
we
what
use
we're
some people's
hoping. We're
heads.
hoping that we kind of can move towards more of a ethereal being view of God, but there are definitely a lot of people that still think it's a bearded white guy in the sky,
Absolutely, yeah, and true on both of those.
But
But to me, at least, God, God is a spirit. He doesn't have a caricature. He has traits that are innate that he has passed on to us. And as a woman, I emulate those traits, which are also part of God. I also emulate male traits. Which women do by the same way,
Oh,
by
absolutely, yeah.
so there, we're a mishmash of gender norms within one body that has certain predominant characteristics.
Well, and Ginger, one of the things that I know, because this summer we had like Trinity Sunday, and then we had the anniversary of the Nicene Creed, and so I was talking a lot about, this is a these creeds are the best language that people at the time could come up with to describe their experience of God. And when you really get into it, you just have to confess that our human language is very limited when it comes to talking about mystery, and things that are so complex that we really can't even fathom them. And, I try to gear people in that direction instead of saying, but this is who, God is Father, which means male or whatever. But that's just really deep in the Christian psyche.
It
It is.
is. Yeah, I mean, one of the Sundays and Seasons, the worship resource that we use to kind of plan each service for this section of Pentecost, the prayer after communion starts with Mothering God. And I've actually had a few mostly older white guys come up and say, "Why are we saying that? We shouldn't be saying that. We shouldn't be saying that about God." And I'm like, "Why not?" And so I kind of asked the same thing of like, "Well, what, well, how do you view a mother, or how do you view like a mothering spirit? What does that mean to you?" And then there is so much scripture that describes God as a mother hen protecting her chicks and, all these things. But yeah, I mean, it is like ingrained in us in such a huge way that, and it's sad to see the lack of flexibility in opening up our minds about it.
And then so is the, and so is our gender language and our the binary language that you pointed out. It kind of just blows people's minds. They don't get it. And it is hard. I mean, as you indicated, Ginger, early on, I mean, a lot has changed in the last, say, 30 years, with recognition of and coming out of LGBTQ people. And I, one of the things that made me start, I'm only this much along the path, but start studying and reading books about transgender people is that now that I've been in ministry for 43 years, a lot of the people that I had, like in confirmation class and took to confirmation camp and all of that, are now adults. And I've been, just kind of surprised at the number of them that it's not the majority, but it's not a tiny minority either, who are now identify as gay or lesbian or gender questioning or non-binary, or actually, and I have one confirmation student that's now a trans woman. And as I look back on it, like those times that I took them for a week of camp, confirmation camp at Luther Rock, very often those were the kids, now that I look back on it, who were 13 years old and, wanted to sit on a rock in a fetal position all day,
Yeah, they were
or
struggling.
broke down at the Friday night dance, and I thought, I don't know what's going on. I guess they're just teenagers. And of course they will say now, I didn't know what was going on either. Right? They didn't have any clue about that. So part of it for me was to say, how can I be a better pastor by understanding this more deeply than I do? And so kind of inch by inch, that's what I've been trying to do. Even though I'm, moving pretty closely to the end of my career, I still want to have that understanding of people.
Yeah, I think that's so important. I grew up in an age when it wasn't talked about, and
So did I.
we're estimated to be around 1% of the population. I personally think it's higher than that.
Probably.
I think we're closer to 2%, but that still translates to between 3 and 6 million people who are transgender within the United States.
Yeah, that's
That's a big
significant.
number. That's a big number. And children, especially, they can be brutal to each other. And so I'm not sure how you address that other than because by a congregation being welcoming and accepting of who the youth are. I'm a big proponent of the badges, you're safe with me. The pin, or there's a bunch of pins out there, but the one I like is "You're safe with me" because it's very generic to the LGBT community. But things like that.
Well, and I mean, I guess my bottom line conclusion is, no matter what's going on, just try to be supportive. I mean, when I see these adults now, I call them by their new names because almost all of them have new names. I know that that's been hard on their parents. Because when you give a child a name and you say, "This is my daughter," or "This is my son," and I'd like to hear you talk some about how parents are affected or how they can, I have so many issues, but how they can be more supportive of their children or seek to understand it, how they can share it with a wider community. I like the way that you talked about your journey of, I talked to this grief group and I came out there and then I did this at church, and that, you sort of let it grow. Although in kind of a rapid way, though, frankly.
Very, very much.
Pretty amazing. But that was one of the questions that I had as a pastor, as pastors learn about not only trans people in their congregation, and if I'm not using the right terminology, please correct us. But as there are more people, because I assume there will be trans people in our congregations, but also as we discover, especially like baby boomer parents now, who have trans children and don't know what to do with it, don't know how to relate, have had arguments, have spent time where they didn't even communicate with each other. And so I'm trying to figure out how to kind of counsel them as well.
And that's a difficult one to answer. And I'm going to answer it this way. I am a I'm one of the leaders at a local support group in Nashville. And there's support groups all over. And some are more official than their actual physical meetings. Sometimes they're online. But that especially for the younger generations, online is their world. They're so comfortable going into support group to talking to their friends online who may be sharing the same thing. So support is so important, especially when there's so much misinformation and myths and lies being thrown around. I have known so many friends that their parents or friends, family could not handle the news that they were transgender. One of my best friends, she came out about 4 years ago to her wife. She got divorced. Her daughter disavowed her. Her son doesn't talk to her anymore. And she struggled. We had some conversations. Yeah, I had to pull her back from the brink a couple of times. She
I'm
was that
sure.
close. And the interesting thing is, though, that last year she got married. She, by the way, she is also medically transitioned, so she's like, she got married to a cisgender man last summer that she had known before, a couple of years before, right after her divorce. But he had lost his wife, and he had some things he had to work through. They got back together again. They got married. They had a civil ceremony because of what's going on politically right now. You want to make sure they could stay married. And then last spring, they had a Renaissance reaffirmation of their wedding at a local ELCA chapel.
Oh, very cool.
Oh,
Yeah, it's wonderful. So we all went in Renaissance outfits.
that's
Of course
awesome.
you did.
That's so cool.
Of course I did.
Yeah, that's
But
amazing.
so her life has turned around, and she's never been happier. She's
Oh, that's
that's so
awesome.
nice.
But her mother is totally disavowed. She can't, her mother won't even talk to her. To the point that I was the mother of the bride at
Oh, wow.
the wedding, the reaffirmation.
Yeah. Well, gosh, I'm glad she had you for that. That's such a hard thing.
But it's support. And I've run into so many that have been thrown out by their families because their parents don't want to accept what this is. And I honestly believe if you understand what's going on with the community, why we are what we are, and where the lies are and the misinformation is being thrown around, God loves us for who we are. And God doesn't make mistakes, like we said before. If you don't believe that, then you're not a Christian to begin with. So it's important to just show support. To try to properly gender the person. There's nothing wrong. If you're not sure if a person is transgender or if they're cisgender, walk up to them and say, "Hey, just ask them a simple question. What pronouns do you prefer?" I want to make sure they get it right. Okay, and let them tell you. They may not want to come out.
It amazes me how much of a stumbling block that can be for people, like in accepting it. I don't know if you were, so I was in Chattanooga for 4 years, so we were in the Southeastern Synod together, Ginger, and at one of the assemblies a few years ago, I think it was my first assembly with Southeastern Synod, the youth of the synod wrote a what are they called? You can present them on the floor.
A resolution.
Resolution. Wrote a resolution, and it was essentially a resolution saying that every church, when they're having a function, should try to have name tags big enough so that people could put their pronouns on them. Like, that was it. That was what our youth were saying. That is all that they were requesting. And it was like, just like a, hey, maybe think about this when you're having church events.
And I would have been like, oh, good
Yeah,
idea.
good idea. Cool. I could not believe the debate
Was there.
that, were you at that one? Oh
I was at
my
that one.
God.
Were you?
Ginger, I was just like, I mean, I think I got up at the mic a couple times, but I was just like, are we really doing this? Like, not only is it incredibly brave that our youth have presented this resolution and like check out these leaders of the future, but like, really, you're gonna fight just a suggestion to have bigger name tags? Like, I was in total, like, it amazes me what trips people up in this, you know? I mean, just the simplest and easiest way to love your neighbor, people are still refusing to do. It blows my mind.
I totally agree. I was actually second in line when they cut off the debate.
Oh,
Oh
were
yeah,
you? Oh,
I
gosh.
was going to make my case, but Pastor Dawn, with my pastor at Nashville, was right in front of me. She got to speak,
Oh, good.
and she was very passionate about it. And
Well,
what I noticed the same thing though, that it was that one small group down in that corner. That were the older, one of the older congregations, you could tell, that were resisting the idea.
Yeah.
I mean, it took like all day. Like that, we
I
talked about
know.
it for half
The
a
stuff
day.
you don't think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was two sessions. I remember that.
Two sessions. Yeah, it was
Wow. Well,
crazy.
I remember, well, when Elise and I were talking a couple of months ago about this issue of, I said, is there a really good book that comes at, I don't want to say transgenderism or transsexuality, but anywho, excuse me, that from a theological perspective, that's good.
There are,
And
and there are several.
Yeah.
Elise recommended, and I'd love it, the Transforming by Austin Hartke. Do you know this one?
Okay, I've got that one.
Yeah. So I just started reading that, but are there others that you think, and I bought copies of it for people that I knew had trans kids and were struggling with it. And I just made sure I gave it to them and said, I hope this, let me know how you like this. I'm reading it too, and walked away.
It's really excellent. One of the best ones I found to describe the experience is Transgender 101. And I can send you the information. I don't have it in my room, in this room right now, but I could get it.
Yeah, we can put it in our show notes.
Yeah, there's two or three that I think are really good. Some of them take a different position. They actually look at it from the other side, which is a good way to attack something. Right, so you're not trying to defend it all the time. Yeah, there's some excellent books out there that keep it in layman's language, which you need to do. You start quoting scripture and a lot of biblical verbiage, I think people get lost.
Yeah, you're gonna lose some
I
people.
know.
You're gonna
Including
lose some
me.
people. Right, I know. Right there with you. There's times when I'm like, glass goes right over the eyes.
Well, the other thing that I would the other thing that I think about too is, every time we have these types of changes in like church leadership or people coming out or like women becoming more active and accepted in various roles, I think because when I started in ministry in 1983 in South Carolina, and I was the first woman to be a solo pastor. And I just remember, the pressure of that. I was in a small rural congregation, and I knew that if I wasn't successful, they would not accept another woman because it'd be like, well, that's what women pastors are like, and we know we didn't like that. And I think that's where trans people are now, and gay lesbian people still as well. And it just kind of takes that time, because like what I discovered about people in that first church that I had is that I would hear them say things like, I don't know if I really approve of women pastors, but I like Pastor Mary. Right. And then we kind of get past that. And then eventually they did call another woman pastor whose name was Pam, but she told me that for the first couple of years, they called her Pastor Mary.
Oh,
And the other
geez.
sort of aha moment that I had was actually years ago, the ELCA was getting ready for a youth gathering. These youth gatherings are tricky, right? They're always so cutting edge, it seems like. So I think it was maybe 2017 or 2018. I was doing interim ministry. I was in my first interim, and it was a very conservative congregation. I mean, I was just like, it was a little tough to be there. And so this ELCA youth gathering was coming up, and the word was getting out that one of the keynote speakers was a mom and her transgender son. And people flipped out. Like, do we want this person standing up in front of tens of thousands of our young people as any kind of example of anything? And I mean, there was just lots of that kind of discussion. This is before the thing even happened. And my church had a pretty large youth group. We had really good leaders who were very dedicated to it. We had a busload of youth that were going. I think it was New Orleans or something. And so I thought, I've got to sit these leaders down who are planning to go and just tell them this is being talked about. I didn't want them to be surprised. This is being talked about. This is an issue. And I thought, oh Lordy, how is this going to go? And so I gathered, it was all women. So I gathered these women who happened to be mostly teachers in the public schools. I gathered them. I laid out what the controversy was. I didn't say kind of for or against it, but they could probably guess. And I thought, they're gonna tell me that they refuse to go or that they refuse to take the kids. And you know what they said? Well, we see this all the time in school. And we have dads that by the end of the year are women. And so I was shocked that they weren't shocked. And I'm like, they're experiencing this in their work life and are seeing that, no one is being harmed. And then it translated there. And I was like, that's just kind of a lesson that we sort of have to live through the experience. But it's hard to be a pioneer. It's hard to be the first ones out there, and that takes a long time.
Yeah, it
And you
really does.
probably are finding that as well.
So have you had similar experiences with people saying like, I don't love this whole trans thing, but I do like you, Ginger. Do you get that?
Fairly often.
Yeah.
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 And it's hard to wrap their heads around it.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Especially a man becoming a woman, presenting as a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, the reality is that a trans masculine person blends into society so much easier.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think that's true. Yeah.
Once they go on hormones, testosterone is extremely powerful.
Yeah.
Okay, and you throw the beard in there and they bulk up a little bit. And some of the features don't change, but a lot of them do.
Yeah.
And they just blend right into society and move right out.
I've seen that
We
too.
can't go that direction.
I say, yeah, if you're a 6'3", biological male, and then you're transitioning to a woman, you can't make yourself shorter. You're a 6'3" woman, right? And so it can be tough. I mean, but you do see there are some incredible kind of influencers on social media who share their transition journey, and science is a beautiful thing. I mean, like, even look at like Elliot Page, who is a famous actor, who's a trans man. His transition, I mean, he did it in front of the entire world, and he was a famous actor when he was known as Ellen Page, and then transitioned. And I mean, he was a short person to begin with. He was a small, person. But now, like, I mean, he's jacked and he's had top surgery. And like, actually, a girl I went to high school with is actually dating him now. So like, I feel like, 6 degrees of separation. But I mean, like, if I saw him walking down the street and didn't know who he was
Yeah.
because he's famous, I would think, oh, there's just a really handsome dude. That guy's really jacked. Like, I wouldn't think,
Yeah.
I wouldn't think about it at all. So yeah, there's certain privileges and challenges, kind of for all of us and going either way. But
Yeah. No,
Ginger, I did hear somebody say that their child, who's a trans woman, got some kind of facial surgery. Do you know about that? What is
feminization
that?
surgery.
I've had it already, a little bit of it.
Yeah. What do they do?
It depends on the nature of the surgery.
Okay.
In my case, I had a rhinoplasty.
Okay.
I had a very large nose, very aquiline. Yeah, I think my history is, I believe, English, which typically has a large nose. So
Yeah.
he kind of shaved it down a little bit. But
Okay.
males typically have what they call a brow ridge.
True.
And so they'll go back in, they'll shave that down, they'll shave the Adam's apple a little bit, but females don't have Adam's apples. Gotta smooth that out. Luckily, mine is fairly small, not noticeable. I didn't require a lot of contouring. I'm thinking about maybe having one more, but it's more a matter of lifting my eyes. Just a little bit of a lift here. And it's cosmetic, and the idea is just to make you feel more feminine and to present more feminine. Let me use an example for it. We're talking about physical traits for a second, and I love this one. One I will do I do routinely. I was working in Pittsburgh for a few years. Situations where that my wife was here in Tennessee, I was up there. Couldn't sell our house, so I had an apartment. So Ginger blossomed. Honestly, that was Ginger's opportunity to become me, and I became more and more comfortable. But one Sunday, I went to a local mall, and I was presenting as Ginger, as horrible as my makeup and clothing choices may have been back in those days. It's a learned process, but I had to go to the Apple store to get my company phone worked on. I was having problems with it. There was a cisgender woman in front of me, about four or five people up. And I noticed her because she really stood out. This lady, I swear, could have been a linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Now, people say that about me too, so I get
No, but
it.
she was bigger. She had the male character. She was just very large. Okay, not fat, large.
Just a big boned, as my grandma you would have said.
Absolutely. That's right.
But there was absolutely no question in my mind or anybody else's mind. She was a cisgender woman. Yeah, God makes us in all different flavors and shapes and sizes.
Absolutely.
Think of Brittany Griner, basketball player, very tall.
She's
And I see a
ginormous.
lot of tall ladies anymore. I noticed that some of them are taller than I am. And
How tall are you?
I come in at 6 foot.
Okay, yeah.
Unfortunately, 275 pounds, which is really plus sized.
I hear you. I hear you, girl. Me too.
I have to look. But God works, and there's the bell curve. I think we've all seen the bell curve, and there's always tails out there, the extreme ends.
Absolutely.
Now, and depending on what part of you look at, 68% of the people are what they call normal. Another 20% are slightly normal, and 1% could be way out there in the tails, and we typically around that tail. God makes all kinds of fishes. God makes all kinds of people, different colors and different sizes. God does not like the binary. If you look at nature, God does not like the binary. He likes variety.
God loves a spectrum.
He does.
That's right. God loves a spectrum.
And believe it or not, there's at least one, if not more, species of fish that they mate for life.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And when the mate dies, the other one transitions to the other gender.
No.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
so, and it's common in amphibian species to see different animals kind of switch between two genders. Whenever I hear someone say, "Well, it's just not natural," I'm like, "Then you don't know what natural
Don't know
is.
nature.
You don't know nature." Even looking at like seahorses, where the male seahorse is actually the one that gives birth, right? So, and
Carries
just
the eggs.
yeah, and different, different species that, depending on the need, will switch genders and things like that. Anyone that's seen Jurassic Park
Yeah,
knows
people.
that this is possible, right? And so, but it's just, we just as humans, as Homo sapiens, just don't quite have the evolutionary ability to switch without gender affirming healthcare.
That's true. Very true.
And so it's just kind of like I just it's so easy to blow holes in these just scapegoat and horrific things and excuses that people people try to put out there.
Let's cycle back to the Bible just for a second. And
Yeah.
what I hear all the time is Genesis.
Oh, yeah.
God created a man. Now it's that God created a man and a woman, which is
Right.
not what was is in the Bible. And it's not even that man created God, man and woman. He actually created humanity,
Right.
and Eve and Adam and Eve are representing humanity in its entirety.
Yes.
Because
Yeah.
if I really want to insult somebody, I love to tell them at one of these meetings, and I do it jokingly because I'm not really trying to insult them. But
Right.
do you realize how busy Eve had to be to create humanity?
That was
God, boy,
Poor thing.
and she had to do it with her own children.
Yeah, right.
Problems they
Yeah.
never think about.
I know. If we're really going to go literal here, we can
I
go to some
know,
crazy
but
places.
yeah, if you're gonna go literal, you're gonna be in big trouble.
Yeah, no,
I know,
exactly. Yeah.
but sometimes you have to go to the extreme to make a point.
Oh, absolutely.
You have to, because
Yeah.
that makes people stop and think or walk away, I guess, one or the other.
Well, if they
But
want to, if
yeah.
their brain is that closed, that I'm not going to change your mind anyway.
Right. No,
Actually,
you're not.
I saw an interesting article yesterday. You can't change anybody's opinion. Yeah, their opinion is already formed. It's not going. It probably won't move.
Right.
But what you can do by speaking up is change the opinion of those who are around you.
Right. Yeah. That's all you
And
can do.
that's a wonderful thought. Is don't you know, defend your position, but don't without the idea if you're going to change their mind.
Right.
But somebody else
Exactly.
who is questioning or learning, change their mind.
Well, and I think that was my point with saying, people said, I don't know if I like women pastors, but I like Pastor Mary. I mean, I was only able to be the influencer of those people at that time. One of the things that is a little quote that I'm intrigued by, I'm actually reading a series of books by a church consultant. I have a group here at church that's reading them together. And you know how we always say, people don't like to change or churches don't like to change. And this person says people aren't afraid of change. They're afraid of loss. And, what is it? I think if we can sort of flip the script a little bit on folks and say, what are you afraid of losing? And it can be, I mean, I felt like the people that opposed me as a woman pastor back in 1983, and they were pretty fierce. And you're always amazed at the women that don't want women to be pastors. And I would say, why are they so much against it? And I think it was because what they were going to lose was their understanding of how the world worked and what the roles of men and women were. And women being pastors wasn't part of that structure. And they just weren't willing to like rethink the world, or even rethink their church or their community. And so to me, that's a helpful quote about not fearing change, but fearing loss. And kind of, I'm trying to sort of plumb the depths of what that might look like. And I think about what. When we talk about gender issues and sexuality, the people that are just so dead set against, anything being different from binary, men are men, women are women stuff, what is it that they're afraid of losing?
Good point. Very good point.
What are they afraid of losing? And it could be power sometimes. It could be, some of us think that, men, cisgender men are afraid of homosexuality because they have a fear of being raped. It's
That
just.
just okay. So let me just let me. So that drives me absolutely bonkers because the majority of people who attack others in a sexual way, right,
Yeah.
are cisgender men.
I know.
But they are somehow putting this like fear of like, oh, I don't want to be raped. And it's like, well,
Somebody might do to me what I do to other people.
right. It's just like, it's wild. But I did want to ask Ginger. So, as you've been kind of putting yourself out there and sharing your story and letting people ask you questions and things like that, what would you say are kind of the most common questions that you get? Are you sick of them yet? And
I was trying not to ask any of them.
what are the toughest ones to answer?
There's probably two or three of them that I get most frequently. Are you gay?
Oh yeah, I wanted to get to that. Yeah.
Okay, let's jump into that one right now, because being gay, your gender is in your, here's the best way to think of this. Gender is between the ears. It's what's in your brain. Orientations, who you love, is basically between your legs. That's the easiest way to describe it, top and bottom. And people are so used to the someone being gay or lesbian. By the way, lesbians, have you ever noticed lesbians are a lot more accepted than gays? Women can hug on each other and walk around holding hands. It's not, no questions.
Because we've done that for
Guys do
years.
that, they're
Kind
in
of the
trouble.
platonic romance almost, which is
Sometimes.
like kind of opposite. No, absolutely.
When I came out, there's one afternoon I was sitting in reading a book, and my neighbor dropped by, knock, knock, knock on the door. And my neighbor always has a big garden and loves to get rid of his extra veggies. And Gary, would you like to have? And I was presenting as a girl, light makeup, but in mix. Anyway, Gary, would you like to have some vegetables? Sure, I'll take them. And as he walked away, I started to close the door. I said, "Wait a minute! He just saw me as a woman. I think I better say something." So I, Mike, come back. I got to talk to you for a second. He comes back. And Mike, I want to be honest with you. I'm coming out. I'm transgender. I'm transitioning to living as a woman full time. He looked at me and said, "That's okay. I told Carla a long time ago you were gay."
Interesting.
That they mentally, or everybody seemed kind of trained to say, "Okay, gay and lesbian and transgender are
One big.
connected, one big ball." And they're totally unrelated. Gender has nothing to do whatever with who you love and how you. And that's science speaking, and that's the reality. I know a lot of transgender women who totally love women. Guys do not interest them. So are they lesbians? At the
And
same
that's and the,
time,
thing too is like that's up to them
absolutely.
to decide, you know, what, yeah, how they identify.
But Lordy, that throws people off.
Oh, it
They just
does.
they
Oh
should,
yeah. Yeah, the Venn diagram
here again, that's
of
all the definitions that we've set up that are so much in concrete. We just don't know what to do. Don't know what to do.
So that's one of them. The other question that I get, that, by the way, it drives everybody bonkers, is, have you had the surgery?
The surgeries,
That's
yeah,
right.
everybody wants to know what's going on.
Hypercurious. Hypercurious.
And it's really honestly none of your business. Let them tell you. I had a conversation one day in the Kroger parking lot. I was getting ready to go home. Lady pulls into the lot, and she read me as being trans, and she was very complimentary. And we talked for 5 or 10 minutes, over the hoods of our car vehicles. Very coming across as very supportive. And she turned to go into Kroger's, and I'm starting to swing back into my truck. "Oh, by the way, down there, have you had that yet?"
Oh, geez.
She literally asked that to a total stranger.
That's amazing.
And so she felt privileged to ask that question because she wanted to know. And please, folks, just don't do that.
Don't do that.
Treat people like you would treat your relative. Ask them the questions you would ask your relative. And let them tell you. If you've got a question about their gender, I said it before, ask them what their pronouns are. And let them tell you what kind of surgeries they've had. Are you? Okay, now people are different. Even within my community, we have people that are very stealth. They're not admitting to anybody that they're trans. To me, on the other end of the spectrum. Okay, I told you that. Just treat us as individuals. We're trying to live our life. We're trying to be happy. And then kind of think, okay, how does my being transgender, my being a woman, affect you personally? And it doesn't. Oh, I'm worried about your immortal soul. Yeah, but didn't Jesus
Don't.
think that let him and God work that out? And that's one of those cherry-pick things that we hear all the time. It's God's choice. And it's the works that count, not how you look.
Well, and I think with people on that whole spectrum of LGBTQ, there still is that debate about, is this who the person is, the brain science, or is this a choice? They're just acting out. They want to shock somebody. What would you say to that? And maybe that was your third question, but
Yeah, kind of along the same line, but it's a very rare event that we want to shock anybody. You've always got the idiots. You've always got the people that want to shock the shock value. They want to be in your face. That's 1%, some small, vanishingly small number. We transition because something inside us says that we are not the gender we were assigned at birth. We use the term AMAB, assigned male at birth, assigned female at birth, and we all know that's a doctor picking you up or a nurse picking you up by the legs and looking between your leg and say, okay, male, boy or girl. Doesn't know anything about our brain function. So this is strictly about who we are.
It's only definition. I
If
gotcha.
there were terms that you would never have to explain to somebody again, that just you wish everybody knew the definitions and everybody used the certain vernacular, what would some of those be?
That's a really difficult one because there's a bunch of
There's a
them.
bunch. I mean, we got time. If you got time, we
I
got
know you
time.
do. And by the way, I'm enjoying this so much.
Oh, good. Us too.
But thank you.
Oh,
Thank you
that's
for enjoying it.
good.
Assigned male at birth, assigned female at birth are two good ones. That, if you, what's between your legs has nothing to do with who you are as a person. One that I hear thrown at us all the time is pedophilia, pedophiles. They accuse the transgender as being pedophiles. There's nothing further from the past. Honestly, if you look at all the news articles and who was arrested for pornography and for child pornography or being a pedophile,
Yeah, it's white men.
well, it's
It's
beyond that.
straight
It's white
cisgender
men.
white men.
They're white. They're typically politicians. And I hate to say it, but they're also very often lay clergy. I hate to, that.
It's
If
a
you look at
tough
how
truth, but it's true.
it is true, I'm not trying to hide it. I would personally, if I had children, I would absolutely permit a transgender woman or transgender man babysit my kids. I would trust them with my life more than I would a politician. A politician wouldn't be allowed in my house,
I don't blame you there.
especially a GOP politician.
Can't blame you there.
And some clergy. Okay, because and unfortunately, the Catholic Church has let that happen. Therefore, it's become okay in other religions. You just hide it. You push it under the table, and it doesn't exist.
Yeah, move them around.
So that's one of the things that really bothers me, and I would love to see go away because we're not. Regret is a good one. Talk about regret rate for a second. The podcasts all have all these people that have transitioned that are detransitioning, and how bad it is, and how bad the mutilation is. I wonder how many of them have actually transitioned. I'm sure there's a lot of paid actors that have done that. The regret rate of the transgender community for those who have gone on hormones and transitioned or even gone medically, the regret rate is less than 1%. The regret rate for knee replacements, 30%.
30
You got a knee replacement, 30,
percent.
30% of the people you talk to, they say, I, if
I
I, I
should
had
not
done
have
it
done
again,
that. Yeah.
done that twice.
Oh, man.
Or a hip replacement or cardiac surgery, 15% regret having cardiac
Oh,
surgery.
yeah, I hear that all the time.
One percent says that something must be right, because
Something's right.
all it takes is a little bit of hormones. And I felt when I went on hormones, half of my a big chunk of my dysphoria, my unhappiness with who I was went away. Okay, now it varies individual to individual. What kind of surgery has the biggest impact? Honestly, for me, top surgery was mine, because I've always wanted breasts. I always felt like I needed breasts. I did bottom surgery for personal as well as legal reasons. And then we talked the other side about the regret rate. So, how many people actually detransition? Less than 1%.
I'll say it's got to be such a small number.
It's a vanishingly small number. And of those that do, of that maybe 5% that detransition for various reasons, they do so for family reasons, work-related reasons. Less than 1% detransition because they made a mistake. And they're the ones that get the voice.
Yes, amazingly.
Well, and I think
That's
too, we like to like, you know, we as people, we love labels, we love silos, we love kind of categories, right? And
true.
we lose that grace of like letting people figure themselves out, right? I mean, you know, there's been times in my life where I've dressed really feminine, you know, like I wanted to, you know, wear pearls every day in college for some reason. I did that when it was a big thing. And then there's been times in my life where like I've really lived into my tomboy side and presented much more masculine. And it's like gender identity and gender expression are two very different things. And I think that sometimes can be some vernacular that trips people up. But I
And
mean,
they can move back and forth.
and they can move back and forth. Exactly. So it's not, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to mean regret. It just means like where you are in that moment. But I think if someone is going to, you know, this kills me, the accusation that's made against the trans community of, you know, oh, like especially in the sports world, which I'm a big sports person, so like this really gets my goat. But you know, the accusation that men are transitioning to women to be more successful in sport
Ain't
is
gonna
the
happen.
dumbest accusation I've ever heard. Because who would put themselves through, you know, it's like for a lot of people, it's this affirming and like caterpillar turning it into a butterfly process, but that doesn't take away the pain that the surgeries bring. It doesn't take away what your body goes through with hormone changes. It doesn't take away the personal relationships you might lose.
Well, the
So,
social impact,
and
the
the
social
social impact.
impact.
So it's just like no one's taking these decisions lightly. You know what I mean? Like I hope I like expressed that in the way I
You
intended.
perfectly explained it.
Yeah, it's just it blows my mind that people can be so flippant with like, oh, they just like decided to be a woman one day. No, that's not.
Nope.
It's a
Not a
journey.
one day thing.
It's a journey. That's exactly right. It's a journey.
The penalties can be really strong at times. Talking about sports for a second, something they don't advertise very often is, there's a controversy about the transgender swimmer
At
and
University of at
she
UPenn.
be the cisgendered woman. What they don't talk about is in that same event or that same meet, she beat him three times. They conveniently forget that small piece.
I know.
And kids, they talk, there's all this controversy about children and sports. They just want to play sports. They just want to have fun. Their kid, children, youth, start to recognize that gender exists around age 5. Around age 7, children, youth, pretty much have a good feel of what their true gender is.
It's amazing.
They're already pretty well locked into who they want to be. And so there's nothing wrong with letting kids play with toys, with dolls, or in the case of a girl, playing with soldiers.
I was a G.I. Joe girl.
Yeah,
And
and you just
rocks.
eventually you
Rocks
discard,
and
right?
sticks,
Rocks
yes.
and sticks.
Let kids be kids. They're going to work it
Exactly.
out. There's no guilt going on, or you can't change somebody's gender by telling them. Conversion therapy is nothing more than torture. That's where you pray over somebody until they convert back to who they were, or you want who you think they should be. And it's psychological training. Most of them go out and commit suicide after that.
I know the suicide rate in transgender youth and even I mean LGBTQ youth around on the whole spectrum is just horrifically high.
Yeah, we're about 40% of the transgender people that attempt or are successful at suicide. I'm part of the 42%.
Yeah, it's
Except I've walked away from it. And again, a short story. Because I like to bring the humanity back to it. We had my wife and I, my wife found out we had some really bad arguments. This is back in the 90s. And I literally walked out into the woods to my home. I had a razor blade in my hand. I had every intention of committing suicide that day. Number one, I love my wife that much. I didn't want to lose her. Two, just the anguish of being accused of something that wasn't necessarily true. I'm sitting out there on a stump and literally had the razor blade to my wrist. And do I really want to do this or not? Yeah, I want to. And I heard a noise through the woods and somebody running. Now, this is a very thick woods and you really can't run through that woods, believe me. There's no trails back there. Someone's running and I heard flip-flops. And flip-flops have a unique sound and you don't run in the woods in flip-flops,
No,
right?
you don't.
And I'm sitting there and I hear this sound and I look up and I swear to this day out of the corner of my eye and I thought all I saw was a vision. Okay. I saw a guy in a white robe with a beard. Okay, your classic image of either a hippie or Jesus, one or the other. You
Oh,
take your pick,
Jesus.
okay? It could have been a hippie, but they wore flip-flops back in those days called sandals. And that image ran past me, waving his finger. No, 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 no. It's not time. No, 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 no. And kept on going.
That's amazing.
And so my story, and I'm sticking to it,
I
was
believe
back
you.
to God saying, I've got a plan for you. I'm not going to let you go yet. I did throw the razor blade away and I went in and I told my wife I'd never do it again and I did.
That's incredible.
But so God keeps coming in there and you don't have a choice. You're going to do what he wants you to, one way or the other.
That's for sure.
Well, maybe one of the questions that parents who are struggling with their children's transition should ask them is, tell me where you've seen God in this. Especially if they're older, if they're adults, perhaps, but to be curious about that and not judgmental about that, to say, so that they can tell their story. If they're able to, although what I learned from my confirmation students is that they can't articulate it. They just know that they feel so conflicted.
There's a
And you're
feeling.
right. I mean, all you can do then is just support, 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 right?
And luckily we're coming into a time now where there's a lot more visibility and there's a lot more chances for kids to learn some of those words and identities. And I mean, even people my age, I mean, I'm a millennial. I was born in 86, but even growing up in the 90s and early 2000s as kind of like middle school, high school, we still lived in such a binary driven world.
Absolutely.
And like, so even now, as a 38-year-old, I'm still figuring out things about myself, and I and kind of being able to put words to ways I've felt for a long time, and things like that. And so it's a very interesting, I'm hopeful for especially the LGBTQ youth of today that the despair will start to be outweighed by the joy and the understanding. Because it is so much more in the public eye. And granted, we certainly still have a very long way to go. And in so many ways we've backtracked, because when you study like Native American cultures, they praised what they called two-spirit people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's like, golly, how did we stray from that, right? And it's like, oh, because we wiped out their culture. That's right.
But
But
actually, it's not just the Native American culture, but it's in Asian culture. It's in African cultures, where they recognize transgenders as being two spirit, three faced. In many cases, they were the healers. In many cases, they were the birthers, midwives. In some cases, they were actually leaders. So yeah, we've been around for a long time, and it's
I
every
know.
culture, every subgroup, every quote unquote subspecies.
Yeah. I
The thing
know.
is,
It's
we have a lot of subcultures in our culture. There
Yeah.
really is no one culture.
Right.
We just always try to make one the best.
Yeah, we try to create a mainstream, but really that's just not plausible. Yeah, definitely.
Well, so Ginger, do you have any closing things that you want to say, like something that you feel like has gone unsaid that would be helpful?
I would like to spend a little bit more time on congregations.
Yeah, me
Yeah,
too.
because you asked, we talked a little bit about parents, but this will cycle back to a general statement to the public, as well as congregations, is I urge everybody to learn, to become educated in what's going on, to actually open questions. Now, don't ask questions. One of the things that disappointed me when I came out, no one asked me what the hell was going on. And that bothered me because no one, either they were afraid to offend me, or they already knew the answers. But if you're a congregation and you think you're affirming, learn more about my community. Ask somebody to come in and give a talk. I'm available. Okay. I'm actually on the speakers list for the Welka.
Oh, awesome.
I will be making I will be making my presentation at three conferences this summer.
Oh, that's great.
One of them declined because they're not doing workshops.
Oh, okay.
Well,
But the other two, and one of them is Southeast Synod. I'm being invited back for a second time. But so it's like what I did at Wild Women. Learn, ask questions. We're not different. We're humans. We just want to be happy with who we are. And no matter what some people might think, I have never honestly been happier in my life than who I am right now.
That's
That's so
wonderful.
now, my hairdresser that I've gone to for 20 plus years, as Gary, and she just gave me a boy haircut. And by the way, she is very conservative, very conspiracy minded. She still accepts me as a friend.
Love it.
And she did my perm last time I was there.
Nice.
She knows the intimate values of who I am. And another friend who is very the same political bent, both of them said, "Ginger, why in the hell do you want to be a woman?"
Oh gosh.
And it's because I am who I am.
Right,
Right.
exactly.
So if I encourage any congregation, please go find somebody to talk to you. Just understand who we are. We're not the evil that's being presented by the politicians. And what they're doing is ridiculous. You may not be aware,
They are discharging well over 6,000 transgender service people out of the military. That's billions of dollars of training that we've lost of people that are outstandingly well regarded, well
Good at what
respected.
they do.
Good at what they
Yeah.
do and willing to serve, which a lot of other people aren't.
Yeah, there's a full bird colonel who is transitioned through about 3 years ago. This before we had, when Trump was out of office, and in the Space Command. Okay, now that's a person that number one, to get to the rank of a colonel, and to be in a high technology group like the Aerospace Space Command. That's millions of dollars of his or her training being lost. It's stupid.
That
So
just shows the fear.
I guess what I'm trying to say is I hope the pendulum starts to swing back. It will, because it always does. People always overreact when they're pushed, when their boundaries are pushed, and then they start swinging back a little bit. Says, well, maybe it's not as bad as I thought it was, but
Or
see,
maybe I'm not losing all the things I thought I would lose.
Absolutely.
Because there's definitely fear of that. And, we'd be glad to continue the conversation at a later date to maybe focus on congregations a little bit more, because I think we all need that.
I would be more than willing to come back.
Awesome. Well, consider it
Perfect.
done. We'll
I know.
definitely have you back. We
We
love it.
like part twos.
That's right.
I hope that I've satisfied some of your questions, and I hope my audiences
Oh,
walk away with just a little
absolutely.
bit better feel for who we are.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for your willingness and your vulnerability and your bravery, and just have nothing but tremendous respect for you. Thank you,
Thank
Ginger.
you. Yes, love you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks,
Thanks.
Ginger.
The
Bye-bye.
audience can't see the hearts being
That's
shaken.
right. We're
I
throwing up the
know.
hearts.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Ginger.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.